you have to be on the same page when you're working with another agency and trying to meet a mission. Best practices and sometimes not so good practices can help you do that. Marcia Cross is the Director of Healthcare Issues at the Government Accountability Office, and she is here to talk about improving one aspect of the relationship between Homeland Security and Health and Human Services. Marcia, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you.
This is a look, this report, at the relationship between DHS and HHS on chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear agents. This started back with the anthrax attacks in 2001, didn't it?
Yes, that's right. I think those attacks made us all aware of the possibility of these kinds of threats, and those coming hard on the heels of the World Trade Center attacks, I think it really raised a profile of concern that these things were not just concerns for war, not just things that DOD had to be worried about on a battlefield, but they were things that could be attacks on civilians here in the United States.
The acronym, of course, is CBRN, Chemical, Biological, Radiological, and Nuclear. And I thought it was interesting in your report that DHS does two types of risk assessments for CBRN. HHS does one on its own, and you looked at the relationship between not just the risk assessments, but how the agencies actually interact in the possibility that we would have some kind of an attack.
That's right. DHS does assessments of the various categories of threats that we have here. They're looking at the chemical types of threats, things like nerve agents. They do assessments of the biological threats, the things like anthrax. They do assessments of the radiological and nuclear, which are more closely related than the other two. One might be a dirty bomb, where you'd be having a conventional explosive, but with some radiological material that could contaminate an area and could be a risk of exposure to individuals, or an outright nuclear bomb, which would have much more devastating effects, obviously. But so they're assessing the threats of those types of risks, and then they do specific assessments of individual agents, so a particular type of nerve agent or an anthrax or a smallpox or some other kind of biological agent. So they do finer grade assessments. But HHS has an important role here, because HHS, as a public health agency, is responsible for protecting the health of individuals and for the response in terms of the medical care that might be given. They're responsible for developing the medical countermeasures, things like vaccines or antibiotics or other kind of agents that could be used to protect you or to counteract the effects of an exposure for an individual citizen who has been affected by one of these attacks. And so they have the stockpile, the strategic national stockpile of medications and other kinds of medical supplies. And so they have to do their own assessments to figure out how many people might be affected and how much do we need to have on hand, and can we develop a vaccine to protect people in advance? Or is there something that we could do to respond if an attack occurred?
These sound like three very different kinds of assessments that are being done. Are there some of these areas that overlap, where DHS and HHS are either having success or maybe not as much success at exchanging information, so that they're not duplicating the exact same kind of work?
Well, I don't think duplication is as much of a concern as it is that the information has to flow through.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have an idea of kind of the overall types of threats, what you ought to be worried about, the individual threats, what you might need to be preparing for, and then the specifics of how many people might be exposed and what would you do to respond. And so the information has to flow through, and there's expertise in both of these departments as well as in some other parts of the government. But these are the two key players with responsibility. And so here is where they need to be coordinating very closely. And the concerns that we found was not so much that they weren't interacting with one another and obtaining the necessary information. We think that they have come a long way in terms of coordination on a large scale. Our concern is that they've been doing this kind of in an ad hoc fashion. They've been changing it, and it's not that the process shouldn't evolve, but we think that there need to be some consistent practices in place. You know, there's turnover in these agencies of individuals, personnel come and go. There are changes in administrations, and so the folks in charge of this, and we think they need to write some of this down so that they're not leaving appropriate parties out, so that they're coordinating early enough in the process that they're not losing time and having to go back and modify what they've developed because someone who was important was left out.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're pushing them to do is to codify in a way, not to put this into law, but to write down practices and to develop some agreements with one another in writing, and to develop some specific plans and timeframes for when things are going to be done. And so that's what we think is important. We think that it's important that they have a more formal understanding of how they're going to go about interacting with one another and in when they're doing the development of these different kinds of assessments.
It strikes me that that would be good advice for any agency that's exchanging any kind of information or sharing any kind of information with any other agency, just a codification of the process by which that information will be shared.
That's right, and I think that these do come out of general best practices. There are standard management kind of practices that we think are appropriate for a variety of kinds of programs, not just for counterterrorism mm-hmm. programs, but we think they need to apply them. And when we made this recommendation in our report that just came out last week, the agencies do agree that these are important steps for them to take, and they agreed with our recommendation and told us that they would move forward to try to implement these kinds of process steps.
Last quick question, if I might, Marcia. Are you getting a sense that the reason this hasn't happened yet is just because of the rush to actually meet the mission and do these things, or is there some other problem here?
It's not that that's the case. And in fact, there are some processes that they had in place and then they had sort of let lapse. And so I don't think it's so much that. It's just that when you have changes of personnel across time, if you don't have things written down,
mm-hmm.
you know, the next person who comes along in that job may not think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we think it's very important that they develop some written procedures, not just some standard ways of going about doing things, because we want to be sure that everybody is on the same page.
It's a great lesson here, I think, as I said, for any agency that exchanges information or shares information with another agency. Marcia, I appreciate you talking to us about it today.
Thank you very much.